let's get that name. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Crazy tonight?
In the House of Crazy tonight, we have the incomparable Daphne Lage, and she's going to be talking to us about her Kickstarter, which is live right now, Eagle Raven, issue number 4. Make sure you pledge to it. She's coming up next.
You can't even spell incomparable. Let's get it!
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the Dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your mats, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze!
Making moves on your own,
cast the Craze!
On your grind in the streets,
cast the Craze!
Join the movement,
cast the Craze!
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now, yeah, you want to do it. Cast the Craze.
Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man, Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer, Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live tonight with Daphne Lage. She's got a campaign going on right now on Kickstarter. It's for Eagle Raven, issue number 4. Good evening, Glenn. Thank you for joining us. I-N-C-O-M-P-A-R-A-B-L-E. Incomparable. Bro, I had to write it down and then I checked.
He literally googled it. He went to Google.
Nah, B. Anyway, welcome, everyone. Thank you for showing up to tonight's episode. We're having a good time. We are chilling. Sammy survived the tornado last night.
Yes. And, that was ridiculous.
That was scary. We have news on what we're doing on our end. So, but tell us a little bit about that scare last night. Damn, what the hell happened last night?
Oh, good Lord. Yes. So I lived on the East Coast. And my whole life, I come over to Texas. What's up, Will?
What's up, bro?
Not to post my... Pain.
Oh, Glenn's got a campaign.
Look at that.
Yo, Nita, what up?
Yes. Stop my girl. You know how we do. Stop acting up. So, I've been here 7 months and already had 2 tornado scares. That's 2 more than I had in my entire lifetime on the East Coast. And I was in here drawing on my Cintiq, and all you hear is sirens. It sounds like war sirens. It's like, it's going off. It's going ballistic. And I'm like, what the hell? Then the phones start going off. Family's calling, get to the safe place. I go put on a news. They're saying, get to your safe space. The tornado ripped through a town, 2 towns over from me. High school tore up. Houses tore up. So I'm watching the news. My wife's panicking. This is the first one she's going through, because the first one I was by myself with the dogs. She wasn't here. This, so she's panicking and she's hyperventilating. The dogs are going back and forth because the lightning and the thunder and everything's going crazy. And I'm just glued to the set. I'm watching the pattern, you know, because I know that from the first one that the tornadoes, they turn. Sometimes they might veer somewhere else. So I'm like, I'm watching it. She goes, we need to get to the safe space. I said, go to the safe space. I need to watch the news. And Then it right before it's getting towards our county, it shifted gears.
Oof.
And it went from tornado watch to violent thunderstorms. And I'm on a hill, and I still got water seeping in through my bedroom door. And I'm on a hill. That's how much water came down. Yeah, and so, you know, like I was like, we dodged that bullet. You know, I feel for the families that were affected. But they said this is just the beginning. Spring season in Texas is tornado season. And so they expect more. And it just comes out of nowhere. Just lands and then just starts acting up. So I'm like, whew. So I got here. I had coyotes. You know, I had bobcats. I got hawks trying to get my chihuahuas. I'm like, they're like, you need to get yourself a gun. I'm like, I said, good Lord. You know, I grew up in the hood. I didn't look over my shoulder more than I do here.
Nita had two today.
Dude, that's crazy, too. That's just nuts. Yeah, that was what that was. But, you know, yeah, thank goodness. I thought it was war. When I heard the sirens, I thought, oh, it's on. You know, we got World War III just started. I thought that was happening. I was expecting, like, trucks to come up and give us rifles and said, you're going to have to protect your country. And, you know, that's what I thought was going to happen. I was like, what's going on here? It's horrible.
Crazy, bro. Crazy. I'm telling you, you go to Texas, all of a sudden, you got hailstorms. You got tornadoes. You got all kinds of stuff.
It's like golf. It's like a billion golf balls hitting the house.
I seen it. That's nuts. Bananas. Jesus. But wow. Anyway, so but Sammy, talk to us about your what you're doing with duty. What's going on with duty? What you got?
The proofs were approved.
Because listen, a lot of people are waiting for Daphne, so we got to get through this stuff. Because Daphne, they're waiting for her, so we got to get through this.
The proofs are approved. Look at all the proofs. Bang, 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 and so they will be delivered Saturday. I got the ship, the confirmation. It's en route. I will have them here Saturday. That means, you know, that could be anytime Saturday. That means all day Sunday and potentially Monday. I'll be packing and getting everything ready. So, you know, it's crazy is that I said that everyone would be getting it in April. You know, so I'll be shipping it out in March.
Right.
Fire. Take that.
Don't jinx it. Easy. Bring it down.
What's going to happen is you're going to come and pick it up. And then there's going to be a tornado. It's going to wipe that truck away.
Yeah. Let's take it easy. Wait till Sam, welcome to the apocalyptic wasteland that is Texas.
I know. It is nuts.
Don't get ahead of yourself.
And we just had to listen to Barry White narrate Quack McDougal.
Quack. I love that, yo. I don't know what it is I love about it. But
all I know is that I hear the Quack Quack song. I feel like lighting up and putting on some strobe lights. And then I hear
mellow.
I'm like, it sounds like Shaq. It's Barry, like Shaq is narrating the Wonder Duck.
Barry, bro. Listen, I know Shaq. That's my boy. Is that what it is? That's my boy, bro. But anyway, for those who don't know, my book and DVD about visits to Jack. Oh, yeah. You know what? Big shout out to Glenn. I saw the interview that you had with JD Calderon about that book. And that looks like a very interesting book about Jack Kirby. So, yeah, just posted a link on I think it's on Facebook, right? So, yeah, check that out. So if you've already signed up to the Adventures of Wonder Duck, the pre-launch page, we're going to be talking about pre-launch pages with Daphne, because I think it's interesting with the pre-launches. But if you signed up to the pre-launch page, please let me know you have, because I want to send you a PDF of this bad boy right here. It's an 8x10 PDF, okay, that's going to be emailed to you. So I'm going to need your email address to send it out to you. If on the day of that campaign or while the campaign is live, you decide to pledge to the campaign, physical backers only, we'll then get a physical copy of this bad boy. It is cardboard stock. Nice print here. You guys can, you guys will get this, an 8x10 print. I have actually framed mine because I decided to keep one. So I framed mine. They look nice framed. So make sure you let me know. Let me know that you guys have signed up and send me your email address so I can send you this stuff and you guys can have it as a thank you for signing up to the pre-launch page. Now, listen, this print is not going to be available on the campaign at all. So it's not going to be available to anybody other than the people who signed up for the pre-launch. Don't whisper in my ear, Sam. Bring yourself back in here, boy. So, yes. So thank you guys for signing up and being part of this campaign. I'm excited. I can't wait. May the 4th be with you. Wednesday, make that. This is why you're hiding behind the screen. Mm-hmm. You're over here munching.
Munchiando.
yeah, so May 4th at 8:30 p.m. Make sure you we're going to start the show at 8 p.m. like we normally do on Wednesdays. But at 8:30, I'm hitting the button. And there's going to be a lot of festivities before that. I'll give you more information.
Georgia has a Wonder Duck dance for you guys.
Oh, really? Yeah, we've talked about that. What are you laughing? Sam, you got to choreograph it. I already told you. You need to choreograph. What the fuck? What? No.
No, I'm going to bust out. I'm going to bust out my NKOTB moves.
Oh, snap. Well, yes, that's what's going on, guys. So thank you again for all of the support.
Yes.
We're going to be having a good time this summer. We're going to have a lot of stuff going on. Big shout out to Comic Books for Kids because we're working on something with them that I'll have more news for you guys on pertaining to the campaign. So I think that's a great cause. I really want to get Sam actually sent some books out to them, or is sending books out to them.
They will
be getting some books out. So that is also something we're working on. But
word.
Without further ado, Sam.
Without further ado, this episode of Cast the Craze is brought to you by our guest. So let's show the promo. Roll the tape.
Iga Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn, Issue 4 is now on Kickstarter. Iga Raven, a half-unicorn, half-human princess, finds herself the unwitting pawn of a headstrong noblewoman trying to avoid an arranged marriage. But she finds a silver lining as she competes to become a knight. But her travels reveal many hardships and a growing obsession. Please check out all of the different levels, and this is also your last chance to collect my popular variant covers. So head on over to Kickstarter to make your pledge today.
Word. Welcome, Daphne.
Hello.
For
some reason, I was about to say good morning. I don't know how to tell time anymore. Better to be incomparable than incomprehensible.
There you go. That one I can't spell. That one I can't help you with. That one I'm going to have to Google. But welcome. Welcome back.
Hello.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for coming on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Indeed, and it's indeed. Like, yeah. So it's like, so Sam, are you going to come back to New York or what?
I love everything about Texas except for the weather because it's unpredictable. So I get up in the morning, like I have this sweater on, but I have slippers and shorts below. So I'm not sure if it's going to be hot or cold, rainy or sunny. Yeah. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's terrible. How you doing, Daphne? How are things? I know you're always busy.
I'm tired. It's like been nonstop, it feels like. Mm. Yeah. It's like
listen, we have so much to talk about tonight because you've been doing so many things.
Oh.
You have the campaign, obviously. Yeah. You're like 100 books deep and
I wish.
You got about 8,000 pages of all the other books that you've done. Like, you're on a podcast tour right now. You have the show that you're doing on Mondays and Fridays with Nita, and then you have your own study. So there's so much stuff to dive into. But before we do that, Daph, just tell the audience, for people who don't know who you are, who maybe have stumbled upon the show for the first time today, and don't know who Daphne Lage is, give us a quick brief.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Daphne Lage, and I am a cartoonist, illustrator, and comic book artist from New York. I have been self-publishing comics since 1992, so I kind of sort of know what I'm talking about. And then I am known for my funny animal fantasy adventure tall tales, but right now I'm especially known for my... my other fantasy book currently on Kickstarter, and The Parrot, of course, Iga Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn. I am also, as you said, co-host with Nita Lanning on the Rage and 2 Network, and you can also read both my comics online in the meantime at Tall Tales Online, T-I-L-S Online, and EagleWorks.com, E-G-O-W-O-R-K-S.
Nice. Awesome. And for those who don't know, the campaign is live right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It ends on April 13th at 4:05 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yeah, so there's plenty of time to pledge to this bad boy. You're doing amazing, Dad. 105 backers, over $3,500. It's incredible.
We have exactly 3 weeks to go to finish it. And it's like, I'm like going, oh, this has been the longest week so far.
Jesus.
I mean, I think I've done, I've lost count of how many campaigns I've done, maybe like 20 something compared to, you know, when you combine it with my stuff, with JD stuff, with the Oswald Chronicles and Tall Tales. Yeah. And each time I do one, it's like doing one for the first time because it's like all you think you know, and then it's all new stuff you learn.
Well, that's what I was going to tell you. Like it just seems like it's an ever changing and ever something's always different. What are some of the things that you've learned? Like even from the last campaign, like what did you learn from the last campaign to this campaign?
Well, this is the first campaign that I had like the longest pre-launch page.
How long was it?
It was probably, I started running it in January.
Okay.
And I ended up with 136 people signing up.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure like how it translates because it's like, they don't really give you that information.
No.
The logic behind it, and like I said, the parrot is behind me, so if you hear any weird noises, that's a parrot back there. They don't give you that information to do anything with, so all I know is that supposedly you do the pre-launch page to build up, I guess, like excitement for your campaign because the first 48 hours of a campaign is like it's most important because the faster you fund in that 48 hours, the more the algorithm benefits you on Kickstarter and it starts like kicking your campaign out all over the platform. So this was the first campaign I funded in 15 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah. Nita said actually it was 14 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yo, that's amazing. Yeah. And you know what's crazy? So like, and we were talking about this with Sam about the pre-launch page, right? Because that is the logic behind it. You you put it out there, people start signing up, and then when it launches, you're hoping that those 139 people get the email and boom, they're on your page.
Right.
It might have worked that way with you. I don't know. We don't know because we don't know who signed up. So you don't know who converts. Right. Well, they tell you who converts, right?
Right. Well, they tell you how many people convert, which by the way, it's like, you know, the way the math works, you're not going to get the full amount that sign up to convert. Usually the conversion rate, if you get 20%, that's considered excellent.
Right.
It's the same thing like when you're talking about your mailing list and whatnot, the engagement. If you get 20%, you're doing incredible. It's like so you get like 100 people to sign up, and if you're really lucky, 20 will convert, and that's supposed to be
good. Was the part I was talking to Judge because what we found interesting is that they were still signing up when the campaign was live.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So there were still people hitting the follow, uh-huh. And so, but there was like 111 people that were potentials that did not convert.
Right.
You know, I had a 33% conversion rate, but there was 111 people still left behind.
And that's the thing. It's like the way Kickstarter does it, it doesn't allow you to really incentivize those people to pledge.
Yeah.
That's the difference with Indiegogo, is that they give you that information so you can do stuff. Although, George, I think what you're doing on your campaign is pretty clever, getting people to send you, you know, doing an incentive anyway and getting people. But, you know, it takes the extra step where people have to send you their email.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think the idea behind that, and mind you, this I have to credit JD for this is that people who are willing to go the extra step of signing, of actually sending you an email for a print, means that there's a very high chance that they're going to back your campaign.
Right.
Because they're taking that extra step. Yeah. So
It's like you have to try everything at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know. You really don't know.
You don't.
The funny thing with JD, and for those who don't know, JD Calderon is it's actually your husband.
Yeah.
Who also has a campaign right now. But it's funny because he had a pre-launch campaign, and I know I've heard the interviews where he like hates the idea of a pre-launch.
Yeah, he does. He really does.
He hates it. He only had like what, 26 or 27? But he's got like 48, 49, almost 50 people that have already pledged to the campaign. So it's like...
Right. Well, see, but that's why he thinks that for him, the pre-launch is useless.
It's useless. Right. Exactly.
Because
that's my point.
He says that he has his really, really dedicated followers that are going to pledge anyway.
Correct.
And he goes, for the amount of time that it took him to promote a pre-launch page, he goes, why not just do a 60-day campaign? That's, I mean, it's like, at least if you, you know, at least you're spending your time actually making money.
Right.
You know? But the thought, no, I am not doing a 60-day campaign. No, absolutely not.
I will never say Christian, pre-launch page.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I guess it's whatever works. For whoever's, you know, and we're all learning. I mean, listen, we're indie, we're all learning. Mm-hmm. We just got to be willing to learn and willing to put in the work to get
absolutely. Absolutely. The work
the
is
day,
real.
That's all it is. Yep.
Yeah. That there is nothing about what we do that does itself.
Yeah.
It's like the grind is real.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what a lot of people underestimate. And like I said, I've done like 20 something of these and it doesn't get any easier.
But what I love, Daphne, and I'm sorry to cut you off, is this is your fourth campaign for this particular book. This is issue four.
Yeah.
And it seems like your fan base is growing.
Yes.
Are you getting different? Are you seeing that you're getting different?
Yeah, it's interesting to look at the pattern, because to give you some perspective, on my issue one, it took me pretty much all of the 30 days to make the same money that on this issue I made in 15 minutes.
That's amazing.
So whatever I'm doing is obviously working.
Yeah.
But it takes like the more issues you put out, that's it builds up from there. So it's like, so from issue one I saw, and then from issue two I saw a drop from issue one.
Really?
Because there's a lot of people who just collect issue ones.
That is true.
So it's like whoever I got on the first campaign, I got like, maybe I think it's like I had like 20 or 30 people less in the second campaign. I don't have the numbers in front of me, so I'm kind of pulling this out of my head, you know, as best as I can. But when the third issue came out, I was there, it started arcing upward again, and I not only made up all the people that I lost on the second campaign, I gained more.
Right.
So first issue, second issue, and then third issue. And on the third issue, what I found interesting was that I was getting a lot of new people. Like my number one seller on that campaign was the catch-up level.
Wow.
So probably the people from the first level, I mean, from the first book, who missed the second campaign were catching up on the third campaign. And not only that, I was seeing a lot of new names too. So people were finding my campaign for the first time and liking it so much, they're going, I'm getting all the issues in one shot.
Yeah.
And the thing is, what I'm noticing from issue three and this campaign is that now my biggest seller on this campaign is just the issue four, which means everybody who caught up on the issue three campaign are now just continuing regularly on the issue four.
Wow.
So that means that people are reading my stuff and enjoying it.
That's awesome.
It's still, you know, like getting that the campaigns to push further, because it's like on my last campaign on issue three, I made 5,000. Now I made 5,000. I like barely squeaked under, you know, barely squeaked past it. So my goal, my personal goal on this campaign is to see if I can make it to six.
Okay.
You know, so I like to give myself like small goals. You know, so it's like my book's funded. So, but I like to give myself goals so that it, you know, it kind of forces me to push the campaign in a, you know, hopefully forward.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, because you don't want to just fund, you know, that's the thing. That's it's true. Like, you want to, you know, I mean, I do everything myself, so I can afford to have a lower goal. So the book gets, you know, the book's getting printed. But I want to see how far I can take it. So, yeah. So in this campaign, my personal goal is to hit 6. So I'm already over halfway, yeah. But it's like, now it's like the numbers are just creeping instead of jumping. I know. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to be creeping under that 6 again. And I'm going to be making 6,001.
Yeah. but you know what it is with making more money than what you've actually asked for. And mm-hmm. the whole concept behind that is, I mean, listen, some people, but when the campaign ends, some people sometimes drop off. They, you know, their cards don't go through or whatever issues uh-huh. happen, right? Yeah. Kickstarter gets a percentage of it. So you don't end up with whatever dollar amount you actually have.
Right, yeah.
You mm-hmm. know, so it's always nice to have like a cushion. Right. Like in case
some stuff absolutely. Happens, yeah.
At least. And that's why, you know, you're asking for mm-hmm. more money. So, but and it's not like you're not getting anything for it. I mean, I'm sure you have stretch goals and stuff.
Oh, no,
like
absolutely.
That.
In fact, it's like this is the first campaign too where I'm experimenting. Well, for the 6,000, like right now, the first two stretch goals have been unlocked. I have two more stretch goals after that, but the big stretch goal that I have to hopefully hit that 6,000 is 8 extra pages in the comic. Mm. So I'll be putting in a brand new short story that in issue 4, so it brings up the page count to 40. Wow. 40 pages. Right. So, you know, so it's like, because I've been it's like, you know, Dojo had mentioned, it's like, you know, trying to build that cushion for the next issue. And it's like, it's like, look, I'm kind of working beyond that. I'm trying to build that cushion for next year's campaigns.
Well, but now with, hey, what's up, Grant? But now when you add the extra 8 pages and now you're printing a 40-page book, the price, the cost of printing also increases. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course. So that's why it has to, that's why I save that as the big one.
Smart.
You know, you want to see, and also the thing is too, is that, is that this is the, like, so if when, whichever one, I don't want to jinx myself, if we get to the 6,000 and add those 8 pages, those 8 pages are only going to be for whatever I print for this campaign. Nice. So if some reason I have to reprint this issue 4, which I'm trying not to, because the next campaign after this is the trade and I'd rather people collect the trade, I'm not going to be, that story's not going to be in there. So if you want to see this story, you have to support this campaign.
Gotcha.
So, you know, trying to make it kind of like a little exclusive for it.
So you brought up something that's very interesting. You know, the lull, right?
Yeah.
So you've been doing this, is what, your 22nd campaign?
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So what is your strategy during those moments, those slow periods? Because they can last a couple of days to a week. It all depends, right?
Right. Yeah.
So how are you trying to be, you know, get ahead of that?
Well, for this campaign, I'm doing two things that fall in the middle of my campaign. I have two crossovers with two other that's going to happen with two other campaigns. So JD has the Oswald Chronicles, which is live now. So in about a week, which is the middle of my campaign, we're announcing a joint project to his campaign. So you would have to support both our campaigns to get this special thing, which I'm not going to announce yet. And I have another crossover coming up too. This one, you're actually seeing a little preview of it back there. I'm still working on the piece. It's a crossover print with Nightwolf, with Robert Moltari's Nightwolf. His campaign starts at the end of the month, so I have a crossover with him. And those crossovers happen in my lull period, or it's supposed to be my lull period.
Gotcha.
So the hope is that these two I guess like crossover projects will kind of revitalize mine because you have to support both our campaigns to get the special items.
Right.
So, I mean, that's, yeah, that's kind of like, so I'll tell you if it works. Right?
It's like, yeah, yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. What is this? Uh-huh. It says playing with a screen.
Right.
Itchy fingers.
It's no. A reminder. It's a reminder.
Right. It's just a reminder. It's yeah. It's like, no, we have to do that too, you know.
Get screwed. So that's pretty fantastic. So and this is your first. So this is gonna be where you get to experiment, right?
Right, yeah. See, every campaign has an experiment.
That's right.
That's the thing. It's like it's always something like this is also the campaign that I experimented with like 48-hour specials. You know, or it's like, yeah. And so it's like, you get like a discount on something, you know, if you pledge within the first 48 hours and then it goes back to its regular price. You know, I usually have the first 40 backers get like a special sticker set or something. And, you know, it's like just anything to try to get people. Yeah, it's like you have to get them in the first 48 hours and then you have to catch them again in the middle of the campaign to kind of like make up for that lull. Yeah. Because that lull happens no matter what. You can have a 5-day campaign and you're going to have a plateau on day 3. Right.
Yeah, it's so true. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
And you just have to be able to kind of like, you know, navigate through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And every campaign just gives you that, you know, something else to be able to navigate. Uh-huh. But Sam, why don't we share? Do you have her campaign up so we can just take a look at it and go through it or not?
Chrome upgraded, so I would have to shut this down to let it up. So if you want to share your screen,
I can do that.
I tried 3 times, but I would have to restart StreamYard. I don't want to do that. In the middle
of the show. Absolutely not. Yeah. There we go. So let's see. Here we go. There we go.
There it is.
So this is the fourth issue. Yeah. So, yeah, and also just for also yeah, Dojo-kun mentioned the whole thing about that buffer. It's like yeah, I just finished issue 7, the pencils for issue 7. Mm. So for anybody who's seeing this campaign for the first time and doesn't think that it's going to go past issue 4 for some reason, no. There's an issue 6, there's an issue 7, issue 5. This is a 15 issue series. And when I say that I'm getting ready for next year, I'm not kidding. I have all the campaigns. JD hates it when I do this. He says it's like, you know, you're just driving myself. I'm just driving myself crazy. I have all of my campaigns for all of these issues scheduled for 2025.
Wow.
Beast mode.
Wow.
You know, because
you need that. But Daph, you need that. And I'm glad you do that.
I absolutely do.
I mean, at least I know I would. Like, I would totally need that. Someone who's very good at sparking interest during those roles is Justin Murphy. Interesting.
Yeah. So these are the sample pages from the fourth issue, which I know that you guys got to read already because you got the trade paperback proofs.
That was a nice surprise. That really was. Now, Daph, before we even go further into the campaign, I mean, these pages are beautiful, but there's a very funny, I mean, the way you created this character, for those who don't know about Eagle Raven, tell us a little bit about the background. When was this created and where did it originally originate? Because it was on your website.
Right. So Eagle Raven originally started off as a mascot for my portfolio website, which I still have, by the way. That's eagleworks.com. Mm-hmm. I remember setting up the website all the way back when I was at SVA years ago. So she started off as just a mascot. You know, she was just supposed to be a pinup and whatnot and just represent the website. And then just one day I just asked, who are you? And it just started this whole train of thought from there. Like, and then it's like it hooked up. It kind of like dovetailed with some old She-Ra fanfic that I did and ElfQuest fandom. And it's like just a whole lot of things dovetailed at that question. Mm-hmm. And then it's like it just started building into this story that I was just updating. You know, whatever I felt like it. This was my hobby comic, per pretty much. I was doing Tall Tales seriously. And this that was my job, and Eagle Raven was my hobby. So that I was just updating, you know, whenever I felt like it. And then before I knew it, I had five issues. And then it's like we you know, the pandemic hit, we went on lockdown, and I was like, wait, what am I gonna do with all this free time? And that's when I finally realized, it's like, you know what? Let's do some, finally, let's get off the pot with Eagle Raven and actually do it.
Right.
So I took like a crash course in coloring, digital coloring for comics and lettering for comics or whatnot. And I just started working on it. And what I was also doing was like the artwork you're seeing here is kind of like, it's from back in like, I think like 2015 or something. Like this is not my most recent artwork, but what I was doing was that I was going in and I was like kind of like remastering the artwork. I didn't want to redo the books.
Yeah.
You know, because I wanted to respect the artist that I was back then. So what I just did was I just went through the pages, I retooled some of the panels, fixed some things, and then I changed, when I was lettering, I changed the dialogue, and of course I colored it, which honestly turns it in a completely different book. I mean, I'm so used to seeing everything in black and white, and putting it in color, it was just like, wow, this literally is a completely different book. And then in, I think what, January 2021 was when I launched issue one, and then it's just been that process ever since.
Yes. And I know when we spoke, I mean, we spoke a few times, but you had pulled back on the detail you were trying to throw. Like,
yeah,
before. You pulled back a little bit on that. When did you start? Is it where did you really stop, you know, adding all that stuff to your
artwork? Actually, I started doing that with Tall Tales. So the trade paperback is the Thieves Quest story arc. So I was working on the latest story arc, which is Tears of the Mother. And I just went straight like, okay, I'm going to get rid of all those little doohickey lines that Will Eisner got all up my ass about. He hated those lines. He hated the Todd McFarlane influence from back in the day. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, yes, I got scolded by Will Eisner for those lines.
He was
lines.
Your teacher, wasn't
so,
he?
So yeah, he was at SVA.
Yeah.
And so I completely like went in the opposite direction, trying to find like a middle ground between like all the detail that I had to put in because we didn't have color. We couldn't, back when we were printing that book, it's like you couldn't afford, I mean, you guys finagled how to print color, but most people couldn't figure that out.
That's true.
So
that's
I true. Went into all this hand-done patterns and line worker and whatnot to make up for the fact that it wasn't in color.
Gotcha.
So now that everything was in color, it's like I'm wasting my time because it's all in color now. Now it's like, so I started pulling back from it. I'm still trying to find a middle ground, but I'm at least feeling like I'm getting into, I found a style that works more with the coloring than what I used to do before.
I speak because Aníbal Arroyo, you know him. He talks about how it's so hard to pull back. Once you become that artist that likes to add all of that detail, it's kind of hard to pull back and say, wait, is that enough? That's not enough. You go back in there and try to add more. You're like, no, wait, you got to constantly stop yourself
from
doing that because it's time consuming.
Well, yeah, it really is. I mean, it's like, you know what? And it's like, and you got to figure too, most people are just going to look at your pages for 30 seconds.
True.
So it's like, you know what? Sure. If you can draw, if you know how to draw in all the shoelaces, okay, that's great. But you're only adding time that nobody's going to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, in the end, it's like they're going to be reading it, you know, and moving on to the next page.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, you're going to have the obsessives who are going to say, wow, I can't believe you drew in all the shoelaces. And then it's like when your wrist is all hurting and you need to wear a brace, you go, yeah, me too.
Yeah, it is funny because I'm looking at that piece right there with the unicorn and it looks like ostrich feet. I'm not sure what that is, eagle feet. But I can see how much time it took you to do this because of all the shapes and curves and line work. Mm-hmm. And then compound that with coloring it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's, you know, when you think about the labor behind it and you're a one woman operation.
Yeah. Yeah. I do pretty much everything. Yeah. Everything except the flatting. I outsource. So that's the only thing I outsource. Is the flatting.
Cody, what's up?
Because there just came a point where I had to decide something had to give, or else I couldn't get the workout that I needed. Right. And mind you, the cover that you're seeing here, it's a very simple, I mean, that's actually a simplified style than what I usually do.
Yeah,
and at all of, and I put all of my effort in the coloring. I mean, the like I said, I took a crash course online on color. I was like, before I even started page one, I had color samples all around my office taped up, just trying to figure out which color combinations, like what I was like, what color palette was going to work for me the best.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, yeah, it's like you just, so whatever I wasn't doing inking, I was ending up spending it on coloring, but at least now the coloring means something.
Yeah. So yeah.
People are definitely going to notice the color. So.
Gotcha. And for those who are just joining us, we are here with Daphne Lage. We are going over her Kickstarter campaign that is right now on Kickstarter, Eagle Raven number 4. You guys want to go on there and check it out. Fourth issue. Are they catching up on you now, Daphne? Do you feel like you're on the issue set? Like, I know you were ahead. Right. You had 5 issues. Do you feel like it's getting, oh, shoot, they're coming. Like
it's getting real. I'm actually kind of having like anxiety moments because of this. I launched the campaign and then all of a sudden I'm like getting all these nervous tics and whatnot.
Yeah, I hear you.
Because my goal is to have everything, all the books for next year's campaigns proofed before this year is done.
Wow.
So right now I have issue 6 and 7 penciled. I have 8 laid. I have thumbnails for issue 8 and half for issue 9. You know, so I still have to finish issue 8. I still have to ink these things. I still have to get them flatted. I still have to
color them.
So the whole thing is that it's like I'm way ahead, but the trick is to keep myself from getting complacent so that it doesn't turn all of a sudden it's October and I'm still working on these books. I literally want to get these books somewhat finished during the summer so that I can start, like, I want proofs by December.
Gotcha.
You know? So it's like, so 2023, I don't, you know, like I could work on 2024 books.
Oh, and again, that's a great example of like that entrepreneurial spirit, but also understanding, you know, how to grow your own business.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to live and die by your own sword.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know?
And it's also breaking the stigma and the reputation that the independent community gets, where, you know, one trick pony or, you know, 2 years between the next campaign.
For real.
Yeah.
There was an interview where I heard someone talk about how he didn't understand how is it that crowdfunding, like people always gave the excuse that, oh, we didn't have, you know, our books come out only, we only do once a year because we don't have the money to keep putting out regularly, right? They put it on crowdfunding, they raise all this money, yet they're still only putting out once a year.
Yeah.
Like, how is it that you're still, like, crowdfunding can't make it any easier, and yet people are still not producing more work.
Right.
You know, it's like, there shouldn't be 2 years between an issue.
Right.
That, you know, so it's like, you know, so I have, I have two rules for myself. Everything has to be done before a campaign launches, and I have to be ahead of myself so that I'm not worried. I mean, it's like, like I said, it's like I'm having anxiety tics now over, you know, realizing that this is all catching up and it's real now. Because I haven't done new issues since 2017.
Right.
And issue 6 and issue 7, they were the first books. They're the first books that I've worked on since that time for Eager Raven. Mm-hmm. Issue 8 is going to be the first Eager Raven book I'm doing completely brand new. The layouts that I had, luckily I had the layouts done back from 2017.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was able to get through those pages, you know, rather quickly.
Yeah.
But issue 8 is going to be the first one I'm technically doing from scratch, and that's a whole other set of anxiety.
Now the scripts are done though, right? That like
The scripts are done. All 15 issues are done. And also in the middle of all this, I'm also working on all these short stories that, you know, the first one we're seeing, we're going to be seeing as a stretch goal in this campaign.
Right.
But so on top of doing the books, I'm doing all these short stories, and I have like several of them in the fire right now. So it's like I have an 8-page story, I have a 16-page story, I have another 12-page story. So it's like, so on top of working on these issues, I have all these side stories too, because what these side stories are is that's what they are. They're stories that they don't fit in the main storyline, or else it'll just be too long and too cumbersome.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like little side quest stories that they're lighter in tone. You know, they're more cutesy. They're just like just simple little stories that add to the characters. Gotcha. That add a little bit more to and more information to the world, more information to the characters, just so you get to know. So you know, but they wouldn't make sense in the main story. Yeah. I mean, it's like I'm working on a story now that it's like where Igor Raven goes to the doctor for the first time. I mean, you don't need that story in the main 15 issues, you know, but cute side story.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like the idea of a unicorn having to go to a doctor is absolutely ridiculous.
Right.
You know, so
that's funny.
You know, so it's like, so it's all these little, so it's like, yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's not just the books, but yeah, but the scripts for all 15 issues are done. I know exactly where the story goes, aside from little tweaks here and there that I'm making as I go along, as new ideas pop up and I go, oh, maybe this should work like this or this, but it's slight, not enough to change anything.
Yeah. Do you have in this campaign, do you have any sketch covers available for people who love
always sketch covers. I have my usual variants, which I have like the virgin cover, which doesn't have the trade dress on it. Mm-hmm. And then I have the silver foil one, which is, I mean, I love the silver foil because it really showcases my inks.
Yeah.
Just because I'm everything is in color doesn't mean the inks don't mean anything. So this is a good way for me to show off the inks on the cover. And of course, I always have my ever popular my holo covers, which I have the holo foil, which I have my proof here. Like I said, I'm not kidding when I say my books are done.
They're done.
When the campaign, it's like I have proofs for everything, for my campaigns. And I also have sets, levels where people can just pick up everything. And the thing also that I'm doing with this campaign, these are all the variants for all the previous issues, so issues 1 through 4. Here's the sketch covers. I always offer sketch covers. So this is what it looks like. So these are literally, so if you missed the previous campaigns, these are all the books that you can still catch up on.
That's insane.
I know, it really is. I was kind of horrified when I put it together. So,
like, holy shit.
But also the thing about this campaign too is that this is the last campaign where you can get all these variants, even the regular issues. So if you want to collect issues 1 through 4 and the variants, this is the last campaign to do it, because the next campaign after this is the trade paperback, and I'm cleaning the slate.
That's it.
When I come out with the trade paperback. So this is the last chance to get all these versions of these books, including the individual issues. Even if you just want just the regular issues, I'm clearing the slate. Yeah. You know, so, and these are some of the add-ons that I have. So these were the trading cards that I offered up on the last campaign as stretch goals. Now you can actually just pick up the trading cards and you can add to them with the new stretch goals in this campaign. So, yeah, and here's some of the specialty covers also that are also, this is the last chance that you have to pick them up. I only have very few of them. I have my metal bookmarks, which are always popular, and the
Zap, is there a limit to the sketch cards? The sketch covers, I'm
the
sorry.
The sketch covers?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think I forgot to put a limit on this campaign. Oops. Yeah. So look, if you order a sketch cover, you will get a sketch cover. I mean, it's like,
what?
If I have to do 27 of them, like I did with an Oswald campaign, because JD forgot to put a limit on it, I'll do it for this one, you know?
Yeah,
the sketch covers, you can order your sketch covers. I will do the sketch covers. Nice. Don't worry about it. All right. And it's like, you can also try out, pick up sample copies of our other books too, of Tall Tales and of the Oswald Chronicles. So yeah, so these are the stretch goals. So we have the first two trading cards unlocked. And now we're on our way. We're less than $500 away from unlocking the last trading card in this campaign.
That's awesome.
And then after that, it's going to be this sticker that a lot of people on the previous campaigns were bothering me about, because I was using the image as just a decorative thing on the page. It wasn't supposed to mean anything, but so many people were asking me, is this a sticker? Is this a stretch goal sticker? What is this? I want this as a sticker. And I go, fine, you get it as a sticker. It's a sticker on this campaign.
That's
so
cool.
So for $5,000, when we hit that, this sticker will be put in the in everyone's physical tier.
Gotcha.
And this is the story. So this is the short story that is the big one. So if we hit 6,000, which, like I said, breaks my previous campaign's goal, I'm going to add this 8-page story in the book. So so it's going to be the first time you're going to start seeing these short stories, because eventually I want to collect them all into its own trade paperback called Tales from the Outer Kingdoms.
Okay.
So this is technically the first story in that collection. Except that this is going to be your only way to see it until that trade paperback comes out. And like I said, it's going to be limited to what I print for this campaign.
Yeah.
If for some reason I have to reprint issue 4, which is not my intention, because I want to I want to clear the slate for the trade paperback, the story is not going to appear on any subsequent printings. So
Daphne, you're playing chess. This isn't checkers. Like you're looking at things ahead. Like you're putting all of these stories in like a separate book for later on.
Yeah.
I love it. I love
right,
that.
Right. Yeah. If you go on my Facebook page, somewhere on my wall is a chart that I made for myself. Again, JD keeps complaining, why do I do this to myself? It's all the books that I am simultaneously working on one form or another for this series. I think there's like 4, 5, 8, there's like 10 books on this thing. And it's like, this is why I have to put myself on a schedule, because it's if I don't have an actual timeline, I'm not gonna make it.
What you're doing is almost like a vision board, right?
Yeah.
You know, and also is providing information to potential backers, future backers, current backers.
Yeah.
So they can see that number one, there's a future of this series.
Yeah.
That you're here for the long game, and so it entices them even more to want to get involved and support it.
Right.
And I think it's very smart what you're doing.
Right.
You know, I think what happens is, and we, George and I did a show on Don't Get Left Behind. Mm-hmm. You know, people who always stick to the status quo,
right?
They don't adapt to what's changing. I think what you're trying to do is get ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And that's a smart way to go.
Right.
Do you work traditionally, Dev?
Yeah, I work well. Everything is a pen and ink. From up to the inks is all hand done, which is why I have to keep special gloves next to my desk when my wrists start going, what are you doing?
Yeah,
exactly. So, but then everything after that, it like the color is obviously digital, the lettering is digital, of course, laying out everything for print is digital. Mm-hmm. But the artwork, I always have physical artwork. For everything.
Gotcha. Yeah. Any chance you're going to go digital on any of that stuff?
I'm trying. I'm still practicing that. It's, I don't know. It's like, I'm kind of not getting the hang of it. And yeah, so it's a slow curve.
What tools are you using?
Well, I have a Cintiq, so I'm using a I think it's like a 16 inch. And it's just, I don't know. It's kind of like lines always look thicker on the screen than they're printing out. So I haven't really figured out that spatial relationship between what I see on the screen and what I'm actually getting printed out.
Oh, it's probably because you have it super zoomed in.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's, but it's like, and I honestly, it's like, if I when I have to replace, eventually I have to replace the Cintiq, because, you know, these things, you know, they wear out and whatnot. But I definitely now see the benefit of a larger screen, because I think that what's kind of not working for me is not working actual size.
Yeah, that's the reason why I switched over and upgraded to the one I have now, because I had the same problem with the smaller one. Yeah. I needed something bigger. That, it feels like a draft table for me.
Right, exactly. So it's like, I figure, you know, on my next Cintiq, I'll get the larger one so that I can work actual size and get a better sense of line weight that I like to work with. So eventually.
I mean, I understand, because I love both. There are days where I love to draw traditionally.
Right.
And, George and I talked about, I recently invested in Clip Studio Paint.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love it. And I'm faster now illustrating on that than I was. So I'm like, oh, okay. But, you know, I understand the benefits of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing too, being able to do the amount of work that I do, is that I have to know my limitations, you know, because like right now, to pencil and to ink, I'm faster doing it traditionally than on the Cintiq. So I'm not going to work with that. I decided I have to outsource my flatting, because it was just it was taking up time I needed for other things to get the books done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, some people have said, oh, why don't you outsource all the coloring? It's like, I haven't gotten to that yet. You know, it's like, I'm still a little greedy with my own work. So, you know, so I'd like to do as much myself as I can until I can't. Right. But, well, until I can't, and also can afford the people that I want.
Right.
To give me the look that I want. So,
well, you have a specific style
of
coloring that, you know, to find that person that's able to replicate that look. That'll take some time in itself.
Yeah, because it's like, if, you know, that's the type of thing that I would want to do on a new project, like for the 15 issues, because I'm like so ridiculously OCD. If I start changing coloring styles midstream, it's going to be bugging me. Right. I'm the type that's like, oh, now I have to redo the first
four. And it could potentially bug your fans, because if they're used to a specific look and all of a sudden midway you change it up, like, you're like, no.
Yeah, exactly. So, so it's like, yeah, so I know like where I need to pivot and where not to stay where I am, because it's like, you know, it's like I need that that focus so that, you know, I know where to, so if I need to do anything, I know where it needs to go. Yeah, but I'm still tired though.
Oh man.
Yeah.
And you have 21 days left.
Yeah, 21 days left. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
the link is in the chat, and it's also in the summary, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
this
so
looks great, man. Yeah. It's a great campaign. I mean, I know you plan all of this stuff so far ahead of time, like,
yeah,
I mean, I'm planning a campaign myself, and I know how, and Sam's done it, I know how much work it takes. What is the thing that you find the most fun about doing this, and what is the thing that you hate the most about doing it?
Oh, well, fun, I mean, fun is relative. You know, I mean, because it's such a process, and it's like, what it is that, especially with the campaigns, because I, like I said, it's like I like to do things in advance if I can help it. So I already have the campaigns approved for issue 5 and for the trade paperback. So but the thing is though, I keep noodling with the campaigns. Like, I'm all like, whenever I see somebody or I hear something like information, oh, well, if you do this, this, and that, and then I'm going back into those campaigns and I'm like noodling with it. It's like, well, if I, you know, let me just follow those instructions.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the learning process of the whole thing. I mean, mm-hmm. honestly, it's like a lot of people, they kind of get crabby at the fact that it's like, oh, the information is constantly changing and whatnot. But I'm always on the lookout for that information.
Yeah.
So it's like whenever I hear something that goes, oh, well, if you do this, you might get X result. It's like, okay, let me at least try that on one campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, okay, because also not all information is equal. So there's some things that'll work for other people that won't work on my campaign.
Absolutely.
So it, but I have to kind of noodle with it to kind of get there. And honestly, the most fun about doing everything is being able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to do this. Did that.
That's your library.
That's, this is, yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to do that.
Yeah. That's incredible.
And go, I did this.
Yeah.
I did this.
That's right.
And it sometimes and it grows. It grows, you know, every time. And it's like, you know, this makes it all worth it.
I know. Indies don't do that, right? Indies are not supposed to be able to do that. That's the whole
right,
thing.
Right. You know, and the thing is, though, not a lot of people are able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I said, it's like there's a lot of people who they only put out an issue once a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing campaigns, they're raising all this money, but it's like, you know, okay, where's the rest of your, you know, where's the rest of the story? And that's the thing. So it's like being able to say, for people to ask, well, what have you done? And it's like, well, I've done this. I've done this. This is what I've done.
Yeah.
It's like, it's more than 1,000 pages, more than 1,000 pages. I think Tall Tales alone is over 1,000 pages.
I know. That's what I, when we started the show, I was saying the
right.
number of pages. You guys... It sounds like hyperbolic, but it's not. Right. It's real.
And the thing is, though, and it's like, yeah, it's like, okay, so there are professionals who can do like, who did like, they have 10,000s and 80,000s. It's like, okay, but this is literally a one man, or in my case, a one woman band.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, like I said, most people never make it to their first issue. We've been doing this for 30 something years. Jeez. Saying that out loud is horrifying, but it's like, but it's, and the road. The road is littered mm-hmm. with bodies of the people who don't make it past their issue one.
Yes.
You know, and here I am with this.
Yeah.
With this.
That's
you know,
incredible.
And so in the end, it's like, you know, I you know, yeah, it's like, you know, I joke complain about the amount of work that it takes, you know, the amount of grinding that it requires. And yeah, and it's a grind, it's a hustle, it's non-stop.
Yeah.
You know, but to be able to lift up this, I don't know, 3 pounds worth of books, you know, and say, this is what I did. What did you do? Yeah. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like,
and that's
what makes it worth it.
That's all self-published, right?
That's all self-published.
It's all you guys, right?
Yeah.
You guys
it's all self-published,
yeah.
You know, so that's what makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, no, just
it's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. You know, it's funny because I look at your campaign and it says you've created 7, and I'm like, that's a lie. There's no way.
Well,
you've only
that's just, those are my solo campaigns. Like I said, that's not counting
the
ones that I did for Tall Tales and the Oswald Chronicles too that I help out with JD.
Oh,
so
man, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So the next one will be 5, and then after that is the trade.
Well, no, the trade is next.
The trade is next.
Yeah,
okay.
Because the trade collects issues 4. 1 through 4.
Okay.
And then by the end of the year, I'm looking to release issue 5.
Okay.
Right. And in between that, there's going to be volume 4 of Tall Tales, Thieves' Quest. In the middle of all this, because it's like, it's poor Tall Tales. Sometimes it gets a little left behind because of all the, you know, my big, because Eagle Raven takes so much work because it is in color, you know, and, you know, so Tall Tales sometimes gets a little left behind. So I have to show it some love this year. So volume 4 to the trade
volume
paperback
4,
is
geez.
On the schedule.
And so all right, so you have all of this stuff and the campaign looks amazing and everybody, again, if you're watching, make sure you pledge to the campaign. It's up for another 21 days, which
exactly 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Takes it out to April 13th at 4:05 p.m. Yeah. But there's other things that you're working on, and I'd like to touch on that a little bit with you. Just the stuff that you're doing outside of comics. I know you start, I mean, you've always had a channel. And you're almost at 1,000 subscribers.
Yeah, almost at 1,000 subscribers, yeah.
Yes. And so, but now you're also doing, you're in the Raging 2 Network. So tell us a little bit about your podcasting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, it just happened to be, I guess, kind of serendipitous that if you had told me even like 3 years ago, you're going to be hosting a channel, it's like, I was like, well, you're kidding me. It's like, I can barely take photos of myself. How am I going to be on YouTube all the time? and here I am. It's like, I have a YouTube channel. I have, so I co-host with Nita Lanning on Raging 2. Unfortunately, well, it was because, because of Meredith, it ended up that way. Meredith passed, and I kind of like, I can't even begin to say I could fill those shoes. Yes. I mean, she did so much for everybody and everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we're just kind of like taking her vision of what she wanted for a network and, making it blossom as best as we can. So Meredith planted the seeds, and we're now going to be eating a zucchini for days.
You guys are doing a great job.
Let me just show the bump.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Okay. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. Daphne Lage here. Join Nita Lanning and me on the Raging 2 The Vlogs show, where we talk about everything, nothing, and all the bits in between. Looking for hour-long conversations about indie comics, social media marketing, and crowdfunding, with the occasional rant and story time? Head on over to the Raging 2 channel on YouTube, Mondays through Fridays at 11 a.m. Eastern, to join in the chat.
Hit the button.
So now we had changed the schedule slightly. From now, we're just broadcast on Mondays and Fridays, because now the channel has, we have so many other shows as well. We have Randy Zimmerman. He has two shows. He has his Zimcast, and he has Sunday Funnies. And then we have C. Michael Lanning. He has his shows on Tuesdays. And we have a Wednesday morning show.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I have my own live stream that I'll be doing tomorrow. So I could, finishing up that piece back there. I'll be doing that tomorrow at 4:00. And it's like, really? Can we not add anything else more?
But you know what? It's good. At least you're using that to work on that project. So it's kind of, you're doing a
right. Yeah, there. Yeah. And you see, and that's the thing too, because it's like, now we're in a age. It's like, we didn't have to worry about that back in the day. Now it's like we're in an age where it's like, either you have to show people your face. It's like, it's kind of like you have to be online. You have to be on social media. You have to be on YouTube. It's like, it took me a while to understand the purpose of YouTube. And it's like, look, every time I'm on a live stream, or any of us, or, this is a commercial.
Right.
People are literally seeing you on TV. Yeah. So it's like, this is how they're relating to us. And the more they relate to us, the more that they're going to relate to our work.
Yep.
So it's like, this is like necessary. It's like, you cannot skip this. It's like, we're not, you literally cannot skip this step. If you are not on social media, you better be, I don't know how you're selling stuff nowadays, honestly. Honestly, it's like, so it's like, yeah, so... So now it's like, it's this whole media thing that we have to do. And I think I'm just like finally getting used to it.
No, you guys are doing great. I watched the show. You guys do it Monday through Friday. For those who don't know,
Mondays and Friday.
Monday and Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, you guys are on. And then, like you said, you guys have the other shows in between.
Right. Yeah. So it's like,
So you build literally a network of shows, which is great.
So it's like, we're very comics focused. Mm-hmm. And we talk about pretty much, it's like we talk about like everything having to do with indie comics, with promoting indie comics. We actually do interviews on our Monday shows. Now it's like Fridays, it's more like a free form discussion as to like, okay, well, I saw this online, let's discuss it because it's related to what we're doing. And that's pretty much it. And it's like, you know, and the chat's pretty lively. So, that's pretty much, I mean, like I said, it's still kind of trippy to think about, oh, I have a show.
Right. Well, yeah, you're a YouTuber. It's like, you're
exactly. Yeah.
You know, and you guys have, what is, I think you have like a feature, or you're going to be doing 15 minutes of fame or something.
It's like, we still have to kind of like bring that in. We do have a thing that we're eventually going to do where it's like, we'll just grab anybody from the chat. And, you know, they have 15 minutes to talk about what they're doing. And then like, we're going to play Oscar music, you know, the Oscar music on top of them, like they do at the Oscars when they talk too long. But we haven't gotten to that yet. We're still working out the kinks. All right. Hey, so, man. Yeah, cool. I'll do that. Thank you. And it's like, you know, I'm doing also, it's like another show that I'm doing, is this Saturday. I'm doing a month nightly mm-hmm. stream. Mm-hmm. So I can work on my stuff. That's really not appropriate for the day crowd, you know? So, House of Bob, right. Which, I guess to put it bluntly is my furry porn collection. And so we're experimenting with doing an age restricted night live stream so that I can work on these pieces, because work's still got to get done.
<That's right. laughs>
You know, it's
that's
just right. that some work, you know, needs additional you know, we're trying not to get ourselves kicked off of YouTube,
right? I got you.
We're gonna try it this weekend to see how that works out. So that's going to be Saturday on the 26th from 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern.
Okay.
So I'm going to be in my pajamas. I'm going to try to stay awake. It's going to be a thing.
That's good. That's good. I love it. Yeah. I love everything you guys are doing. Keep up the great work.
Thank you. You are doing amazing work. Thank you.
Guys, if you're watching, please pledge to the campaign. It is live right now. And it's in the show notes. It's also in the chat. Yeah. For those who are watching, make sure you hit that button and pledge.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm gonna give you the screen, Daphne. Right. Give us the elevator pitch. Why Eagle Raven?
Oh, sure. Okay. So hello. Yes. So Eagle Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn, is a story of a unicorn princess exiled into the mortal realm after she is betrayed by her elf prince husband-to-be. Dragons overtake her kingdom because she doesn't have enough problems, and how she's pretty much finagled into training to become a knight and hoping she can win a king's favor, may hopefully raise an army and go back to her kingdom, reclaim her kingdom, and save her people. If you enjoy like kind of like hero's journey type of character driven stories, this is the type of story that I hope I can entertain you with. It's a medieval fantasy soap opera. It's like I said, it's very character heavy, character driven, emotionally driven. It's more about the emotional attachments that these characters make with each other, how they relate with each other. But like I said, it's very hero's journey. I've been reading a lot of Joseph Campbell lately. So of course, I have to use that. So if you're into more soap opera type fantasy adventure that has furries and dragons and unicorns and all that fun stuff, Eagle Raven, Heir of the First Unicorn. Oh, and before I keep forgetting, it is a mature audiences title, mostly for fantasy violence and adult situations, because like I said, it's a soap opera. So that's Eagle Raven for you in a nutshell.
awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you, Daphne, again.
No, thank you.
So what's yeah, up? No, thank you, Daphne, for coming on and chatting with us about.
It's
about
always a pleasure. Always.
Yes. Uh-huh. And listen, we'll have to do this again, obviously.
Obviously for the trade paperback.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Job, thank you, Daphne, A. Wilson. A.
Yes. I'm glad everybody showed up. So, guys, thank you for coming on and showing up. You. And Daphne, like I said, we'll have to do it again, guys. Please, if you haven't pledged to the campaign right now. And you'll be on live on, well, tomorrow you're going to be at
tomorrow. Live 4 o'clock doing my drawing live stream.
And then
I'll be back on Friday at 11 a.m. with Nita. I have to, there's a couple of things I want to rant about. So we'll see.
Always fun.
All right, people seem to enjoy that, so
why not give the people what they want? Dad.
Exactly.
Give them what they want.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks again, Daphne.
Yeah.
All right, Daphne.
Okay.
We'll talk to you.
All right. See you later.
So all that right. was Daphne Lage. Again, the link is in the summary. It's also in the chat. And Daphne is also an official sponsor of Catch the Craze podcast. Check out Eagle Raven. It is fantastic. I mean, come on, what more can you ask for? She's a one-woman team. She's killing it. You know, she's at 105 backers based on this trend. That's in the first week. Imagine what she does in the next 3 weeks. Crazy.
Yeah.
So go get yourself a copy of Eagle Raven. Again, link is in the summary. If you like this episode, please give us a thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed to Catch the Craze podcast, and you're new to us, please subscribe. You know, because when we grow, the indie community grows. And so for more eyes on our show, that's more eyes on our guests. And we appreciate every single one of you. Don't forget to sign up for Wonder Duck. The link is also in the summary. That kicks off May 4th. For all of you Disney Island on My Toilet supporters, the books are on their way to me. They're expected to be here Saturday. So hopefully I'll start packing everything up. The only ones that are the sketch covers, I'll be working on Sunday and Monday to try to get those out fast as well to you guys as well. With that said, I am Sam the Crazy Man Vera.
George the Dreamer Medina.
We appreciate every single one of you. We out. Oh.
No.
I forgot my...
Out.
I forgot my...
It's just easy kids. That's not. Crazy.
Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Aquise. I met him.
Say my name, say my name.
This is what you were thinking? Oh,
he described me. He said, I'm the.
You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze. On Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Bob, you're a girl.